shall we speak to God in prayer. Our Father, again, this Monday evening, we draw aside into thy holy presence in the name of thy well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, and give thee thanks for every soul in this room who's been able to sing in truth, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood. Father, we would remember tonight that there's no other way to heaven except through the blessed person of the Lord Jesus and his shed blood on Calvary's cross. The apostle could say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we vow tonight to give thee thanks that thou didst give that name, that thou didst send thy Son, thy well-beloved, the Lord Jesus, from heaven to earth to go to the cross, to shed his precious blood, that guilty sinners might be cleansed, might be made ready for heaven, and that they might know their sins forgiven. And Father, we do thank thee that from the day of Calvary until now, for every soul who has been able to avail themselves of that precious blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veins. And we thank thee that not one single soul that has come and has plunged into that flood that comes from Calvary, not one soul has gone away uncleansed, not one soul has gone away unsaved. And every soul that has ever come to the end of life's journey depending on the blood and in the person of the Lord Jesus, not one has ever been disappointed, but every soul has now landed safe on the other shore. And so we thank thee for this mighty salvation that thou hast provided. But we remember tonight that there are those with us in the little gospel meeting, and they're depending likely on a variety of things, but they're not depending on the Christ. They're depending on their own good works. They're depending on their church attendance and many another thing. And Father, when they need it most, all these things will let them down, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So we look to thee that thou wilt remember us as we speak to these souls tonight. And at another time we try to point them to God's only way to heaven. Our Father, we pray that thou wilt draw near and give us help. We realize that it takes the workings of the Holy Spirit of God to enlighten men and women and boys and girls, firstly to their lost condition, and then to, our Father, bring them to an understanding of their absolute helplessness in thy holy presence, to lead them to repentance and to show them that the Savior has finished the work. Father, we can never do this, but we look to thee that thou wilt, because thou art able, thou art a mighty God, thou art the God of salvation. And we look to heaven that we might see thine arm made bare again tonight, and we might see souls coming to Christ this Monday night. We thank thee that it is within the bounds of possibility that more than one could be saved this Monday night. So we commend the meeting to thee. We pray for a real felt sense of thy presence. We pray for the softness of the touch of God. And we pray for thee to move in our midst. We look to thee to roll back the forces of the evil one and to defeat his every purpose. And our Father, that right across the land tonight there might be movements of the Spirit, and there might be news of salvation, and that in other places as here there will be rejoicing over names written in heaven. We leave ourselves with thee. We ask for heaven's help in Jesus' worthy name.
Amen.
Now, there's further sing from number 124. 124. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The master made answer in words true and plain. He must be born again. We'll rise again while we sing 124.
A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The master did answer in words true and plain. He must be born again. He must be born. Yeah.
You're very warm welcome along to the gospel meeting. We're glad that you've come, and we thank you for the sustained interest in the meeting. This, I think, as far as Monday nights would go, is the largest number that we've had, and so it is an encouragement to us that in this, the third week of the meeting, the interest has been sustained. If you don't come to the meetings, well then there won't be any meetings. We depend on you coming along night after night to hear the preaching of the gospel. We sincerely thank you for taking of your time this dark night to come out again to hear the message preached. And we'd ask you to keep the meetings in mind as they continue now, each night this week, Monday to Friday at 8 o'clock, and then on the Lord's Day at 7:30, if the Lord will. If the Savior be not come again and we're spared, we will be here to preach the gospel each night. We'd ask you to try and come back again, especially if you don't know the Savior, if you're not saved tonight, that you would make it your business to go in for God's salvation at this time. You know, I want to say that it's only those who seek it with all their heart and earnestly that find the Savior and find forgiveness of sin. Go in for it tonight and don't rest until you know that your name is written in heaven. We would ask you to remember that we pray each night at 7:30 in a little cabin, and those who can join us there will be most welcome. And each day and night, as the hours would pass, we ask you to breathe a prayer that God will move and save again in our midst. So we thank you for coming and make you welcome in the Lord Jesus' name. Now I want to read, please, in John's Gospel, chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is all I wish to read, and I trust that God will bless these verses to our hearts again this evening. Now again this evening, at the opening of the gospel meeting, we want to look with you at this most basic and fundamental of passages that we find in the Bible, in the New Testament. If you're not familiar with the Bible, then I would ask you when you go home again this evening to take down your Bible and turn to the New Testament and try and find the Gospel of John in chapter 3. And there, as you read down the verses, I believe if you read them carefully, if you read them thoughtfully, you will learn something that every soul on earth ought to know,
And every soul that's ever going to be in heaven has got to learn and has got to accept. And that is, if we're ever going to be in heaven, we must be born again. There must be a change. There must be a moment down life's little pathway when you start for heaven. You see, last night, those who were in the meeting will remember, I hope, that we looked at the two ways and the two destinies. And we saw that as we journey along the journey of life, there ought to be, there must be, it is essential that there is a moment that we stop and we take a turn from the broad road that leads us downward to destruction. And we make a turn and we go through the narrow gate, that straight gate that leads to life and leads to heaven and home. And there must be a moment when there is a change, an about turn, a repentance, a leaving of the sins of the world behind, and a definite decision that I'm going to accept the Lord Jesus as my own and personal Savior. Now the Lord Jesus here, in this particular passage, he's talking to a very religious man. You see, some people seem to think that salvation and being born again is only for those who are most irreligious. It's only for those who are down and out, and those who have sunk into the depths and the depravity and the filth of sin in that outward way that can be seen, because we're all sinners, equally guilty. But you see, when we look at this passage, we find that Nicodemus was one of the most religious men in the land of Israel in the days of the Lord Jesus. He was the ruler of Israel. He was the teacher. He was the authority when it would come to all things religious. And if you wanted to know anything about the Bible, if you wanted to know anything about the law, about the will of God, and about how to conduct your life and your affairs, well, you could have gone really no higher than to go to Nicodemus. But you see, Nicodemus has come. This teacher has come to speak to another teacher. He has come to speak to the greatest teacher that ever walked the scene of time, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Nicodemus is back at school this night long ago. Nicodemus is about to learn the greatest lesson that he ever learned in his life. I want to make it easy for you. I want you just to take home a few words that the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus long ago. We're not going to go down the passage, but we're going to concentrate our thoughts this evening on John 3 and verse 3. And here's what it says. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's just shorten it and condense it a little bit more. And here's the words I want you to take home. I'll quote them a number of times, and hopefully they'll enter your mind and you can think upon them as you make your way home this evening. Except a man, except a woman, except a boy or girl is born again, be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. What does it really mean? It really simply means this, for it's all boiled down, my friend. Unless you're saved, unless you're born again, you will never, ever be in God's heaven. You see, as I looked at this passage, I thought of this. As we think of the masses of humanity, we have an expectation that is deceptive. You see, all men, I believe, in this room, and women too, would like to see the kingdom of God. In other words, you would expect to be in heaven. I would believe that all in this room, and I would believe that the vast majority of everybody, they would have plans in their minds and ideas at the back of their head. It's simply this, that one day when life is past and gone and done, that I'll be in heaven. And somehow the wheels will turn around, and somehow events will come together, and somehow when it gets to the end of life, well, I'll just end up in heaven. You see, my friend, that's an expectation that's deceptive. If Satan, the great deceiver who works in the midst of mankind, if he can get you to believe that, if he can get you to rest upon that tonight, then, my friend, you will be asleep. As our brother told us the other night, first you'll be asleep all the days of your life, and you'll never wake up till it's too late, and you find that heaven's door is closed. And you find yourself on the wrong side of the big gulf. And we would like that the Spirit of God would give help tonight, and that he would draw near this Monday night, that you might get that deception rolled away from your soul and away from your spirit this evening, and that you might get your eyes open to understand this, that you're deceived as to the character of God in heaven. Oh, if you think that somehow you'll be in heaven without being born again, without being saved, by depending on religion, by depending on good works, by doing the best you can, by staying out of trouble, and all the means that men and women, the boys and girls would try to use, then, my friend, you're deceived as to the character of the God with whom we have to do. You see, I want to tell you, and it makes my soul to tremble as I think about it as I stand before you, the God with whom I have got to do, and the God with whom you have got to do is a holy God. Oh, this Bible said it over and over again, the Lord thy God is a holy God. The Lord thy God is a holy God. You know, there was a man called Isaiah one time. You read about him in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah, the prophecy there near the middle of your Bible. And you'll find there in chapter 6 that one day he got into the presence of God. And one day Isaiah was there and he looked in the temple and he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, but his train filled the temple, and there were holy beings, and they were flying around the throne, and here was their cry, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And there, as Isaiah saw that scene, and he saw the smoke that filled the house, here's what he said, Woe is me, woe is me, for I am undone. And I dwell in the midst of, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He discovered it. He was unclean, and God was holy. And that's the two things that we must discover, and we must get the deception removed from the eyes of the people and from the souls of men and women in the meeting tonight to understand this. You're deceived as to heaven's character, that God is holy. You're deceived as to your own condition, that you're a guilty sinner in his presence. And as Isaiah said, he says, I am unclean, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Isaiah discovered he was a sinner in the presence of the holiness of God. I want to tell you, guilty sinners and their sins can never be in heaven. If you're ever going to be in heaven, then there must be a change. You see, this verse tells us of an experience that is demanded. Oh, as we are born into this world, we're not fit for heaven. As we are born into this world, my friend, we're not born on the way to heaven. You know what? The book tells us we're born dead. Oh, that sounds like a contradiction in terms. That sounds like a paradox. But my friend, as you took your first breath in life, you were spiritually dead, and so was I, cut off from God because of sin. Because we were cut off in the Garden of Eden through our first parents. So, this seems to have been the theme of the meeting. Our brother read it the very first night, and we've read it since, and we've quoted it since. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for they're all sinned. And what the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus this night long ago, he says simply this, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you'll never ever be in heaven. He says there's a requirement that is needed. There's a demand from the throne of heaven, man. And you need a change. You need a change. Oh, you say, well, you don't really know me. And I have been such a good person all the days of my life. And I never really have got into any big sins. And I could tell you about people in Limavady and they have sunk into sins. And I could tell you about people in Limavady and the things that they have done. My friend, I don't want to hear about the people of Limavady or anyone else or even you. I want to tell you that this book says that you're a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. And as you are in this gospel meeting, you're not fit for heaven. And if you're ever going to be in heaven, there must be a change. It's only blood-washed ones are there. The ransomed and forgiven. And he says there's an experience to be born again. What does it mean? It means to be born from above. It means to be born of God. It means to have divine life. You see, heaven is a dwelling place of God. Heaven is a place that is divine. And if I am going to be fitted for it, then I have to be born for heaven. First time I was born, I was fit for earth. And I was only fit fuel for the fires of hell because of my sins. If I'm ever going to be in heaven, I have to be born from above. I have to have divine life. I have to have eternal life. I have to have my sins cleansed away, born of water and of the Spirit. There must be a change in my soul and yours. will ever be in heaven. Tell me, have you ever had that change? Now just let's stop and pause tonight at this juncture in the gospel meeting. Let me ask you now, row by row down this hall to the very back wall, can you come with me and can you tell me there was a moment in your life when you were born again? See, this is a definite experience. Oh, it's not something that happens in a dream. It's not something that you sort of slip into and you grow into. And well, down through the years, somehow my mind and my thoughts, they gradually change. And now I've come to full understanding. And really, my friend, this is a definite experience. This is the experience of a moment. And I want to tell you, I could take you tonight to the spot in Ballymena, 26 Derrymore Crescent, Ballymena, in the back bedroom of that house, one January night in 1967, the 23rd of January, at about this time of night, and I could take you to the very spot in the room as I lay in the bed when I trusted Christ and I was born again. And I started for heaven. Tell me, have you got an experience like that? A definite experience when God entered your life, and when the divine life of God entered your soul and your heart, and you were changed, and you got a new nature. You see, every soul that's born of God has got the divine nature within their very body and within their very being. And I want to tell you tonight, and I want to say clearly, if you say that you're born again and you're saved and you're still living as you lived before that experience, my friend, check it out. Because when the Spirit of God enters the soul, and when the soul is born again, it changes the soul, it changes the life, it changes the desires, it changes the man and woman, and makes them absolutely new. It's definite. It's divine. You see, I cannot give you eternal life. That's why we never ask people to come up to the front of this hall, and we never put our hands on their head, and we never pray over them, and we never tell them that we can help them. Oh, yes. If you want it, we would read the Bible with you, and we would give you gospel tracts and pray for you. But my friend, we cannot save you, because salvation is a divine work. It's a work, this passage tells us, it's a work of the Spirit of God. It's something that's from above. And I want to tell you tonight, you need it. You need it far more than you ever can tell. If you're ever going to be in heaven, you must have the life of God in your soul. I want to tell you just something in passing. It's durable. It's durable. There's men and women in this meeting, and they're saved for 40 years. And my friend, this is fresh, and it's as good to their soul tonight as it was the first night. There's people maybe here, and they're saved 50 or 60 years, and they're on the way to heaven, and they're just on the very threshold of the glory tonight. And the salvation is getting more dear to their soul. The nearer you get to heaven, the better it gets to your soul. And my friend, I want to tell you something. It stands the test of time. And many, many souls could stand beside me and tell how salvation and the new birth has stood the test of time. But my friend, it'll stand a far bigger test than the test of time, and that's a big test. Time tests every man, tests every woman. But you know, the biggest test of that this salvation will ever have to stand in my experience will be the day that I die. You see, I want to tell you, one of these days all around my soul is going to give way. And all the nearest and dearest one day will drift from my view. And I'll go out to eternity to meet God. And my friend, if I haven't got the rid of the matter, if I haven't got eternal life, if I'm not born again, the Lord Jesus Christ says, there's no heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How is it that a soul can ever be born again? My time's well nigh gone. You know, I want to slip down the verses to number 14 and 15. Because the Savior who tells the man so long ago that he can be born again, he tells him that he can be in heaven. He tells him that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? How can an old man like me ever be born again? How can I ever know my sins forgiven? How can I ever know that I'm right with God? How can it be that my sins can be cleansed? I can't go back into the womb and be born again. Well, the Lord Jesus said, I want to tell you, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Before I could ever be born into the family of God, the Savior from heaven had to die. The Savior had to come from the glories of heaven. He had to go to Calvary's cross and shed his precious, precious blood on that old rugged tree. He had to die. The Son of Man must be lifted up before this man would ever be in heaven. Before the little boy on the 23rd of January 1967 could ever be born again. The Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus, God, must be manifest in flesh. And he came down and he went to Calvary's cross and he was lifted up. There was no other way. God could never have me in heaven except he sent his Son to die for me. That's a tremendous truth. That's an absolutely astounding truth. The words of the hymn writer, they're beautiful to my soul. And when I think that God is Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. And on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. And I bow tonight and thank God that the Son of Man was lifted up, that the Savior died on Calvary's cross, that I might have eternal life, that I might be saved, that I might be in heaven. You have a choice to make tonight, my friend. If you come and trust this Savior as a guilty sinner repenting of your sin, then you'll have eternal life. Then in a moment of time you'll be born again. You'll be sure of heaven as if you were already there. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you'll be there when the Lord comes, you'll be ready to go. Death overtakes you, you'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But I want to tell you, if you die without being born again, if you die without being saved, if you die in your sins, no matter how good you are, no matter how much you've achieved in life, the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man, except a woman, boy or girl, is born again, they cannot. But my friend, I want to tell you, there's no way around it. And there's no way past it, and there's no way over it, and there's no way under it. Cannot see the kingdom of God.
Turn with me, please, to the epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 9. Turn with me, please, to the epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 9. The epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, apart from the sin question, without sin, unto salvation. I want to read the both of those verses again for those who are not familiar with this reading. These are the words of God. Listen to them. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. The Lord will bless these public readings again from his precious word. I trust after what you have listened to tonight in this gospel meeting, if you have never heard the gospel before, you will have come to a realization from the word of God that an absolute necessity for every boy and girl and man and woman in our meeting, yea, every person who walks upon the sands of time, is to be born again. This is something that is not optional. There's absolutely no way that an individual, no matter from what walk of life he might come, will tread the street of gold except He is born again. That's a grand truth for a dear soul to learn, you know. Whether you are familiar with the gospel or whether you're not, when that truth dawns upon my heart, I'm not saved, I'm not ready for heaven, and I need to be born again. Our brother brought it forcefully before us. Our brother brought it forcefully before us. And unless a person is born again, they'll never, ever enter into the kingdom of God. A person must be born of the Spirit of God to be fit for heaven and home. Except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, when we come in here to a gospel meeting, we concern not ourselves with where you go on a Lord's Day. We don't ask you any questions about your upbringing, as to what home you come from. But that what concerns us here and now is this. Are you fit for heaven at the end of the journey of life? That's a reality. You might say, Willie, I want to tell you something. You don't know me because I have been born of a father and mother who are saved. My father and mother are on the way to heaven. And I attended Sunday school from my earliest day. And I know all these things that you men are saying. That's not the point. That's not what we're trying to bring before you tonight as reminiscing. We're trying to bring before you the reality that priority number one in your life is this. I must be born again. Get that into your soul tonight. You know, this is something you need. It's an absolute necessity. And there are millions in our world tonight. Millions. And they're journeying through life. And they've never heard of their need of being born again. Maybe there's some in our meeting tonight. And you have never heard your need of being born again. And I trust that the gospel is proclaimed in these last and closing moments. This might dawn upon your soul. I need this salvation. And I need it now. I want to show you from the text of scripture that we have read three reasons why you need it now. And I want to show you how you can get it. Now listen to this verse. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. You need it now because there's an appointment that must be kept. Did you hear that? Heaven has an appointment for you. You see, if you make an appointment with a dentist and you begin to get too busy and you don't want to go, you can cancel it. And you can make another appointment. But you see, this appointment is not made by you. This appointment is made for you. And I can tell you, as you sit in this gospel meeting just now, the man that stands before you and the brother who has just preached the gospel, we know not the moment when we're going to leave this earth, but heaven already has the appointment made. As I look into your eye tonight, mother, as I look into your eye tonight, young man, as I look into your eye tonight, boys and girls, let me tell you, before your mother held you in your arms, heaven had an appointment made when you would leave this world. You know, this appointment, as far as heaven is concerned, is a solemn appointment. It's a solemn appointment as far as you are concerned, you see, because it was judicially ordained. You see, what do you mean by that? This takes us right back to Romans chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The article of death was something that came by sin. You see, first of all, we read that sin entered. Then death entered. Death by sin. The problem goes right back to sin. And you say, but Willie, I read in the scripture that God said to Adam, the day that you eat thereof, you'll surely die. That very moment you eat, he says, you'll die. And Adam lived for hundreds of years after. How come that God said he would die that day? You see, there's death in the Bible that is spiritual. Our brother spoke to us about it. Death in the Bible is always separation. You take that in, you see. Whenever man sinned, God says that to Adam, I'm going to put you away. There has to be a death come in between you and me. There has to be a separation took place. And God drove out the man. That day he died spiritually. You know what that means? That means he's void of eternal life. He needs to be born again. Not the condition you were born into this world. You were born spiritually dead. Oh, physically alive with all your faculties. On the day your mother bore you, you're so pleased that your wee hands and fingers and your feet were all right, and every feature you had was normal. And the heart of the mother went out to God in appreciation that the baby was okay. It was physically all right, but it was spiritually dead. That's why you need to be born again. But you see, that's not the death that's in question here. The death that's in question here, firstly, is death the physical. That which will take place whenever I breathe my last. You see, where's the separation? The separation is this. And whenever I breathe my last, you know, I've seen them whom we love go out into eternity. And whenever they take their last breath, you know, the body's still lying with us. But they're gone. That is separation. The soul and the body are separated. But then the Bible speaks of the second death. What's that? That is the body being reunited with the soul. And both body and soul being put into the lake of fire forever. That is eternal separation. But that which I have before my heart just now is an appointment you must keep. And it's judicially ordained because of sin. You see, if you're here tonight and you say, well, I cannot say that I'm a sinner, I can say to you, you'll never die. Because the wages of sin is death. And if you haven't sinned, you'll never die. But you know what the book says? It's appointed unto men once to die. See, God has mine appointed, is yours appointed. You say, but hold on. I intend to live to be an old man. I want to tell you something. If the Lord be not come, I would like to live to be an old man. But I have no guarantee I'm going to make an old man. But I have a certainty I'm going to die. You see, not only is it judicially ordained, but experimentally confirmed. You see, how? Are there those in your family who have died? There's not a family here, but death has touched it. A grandparent's gone. A mother's gone. Maybe a father gone. Maybe a child gone from a mother's knee. See, death has no respecter of persons. And we know not that moment. You see, this is divinely appointed. If only heaven, see, heaven has decided to keep it from us. But those of us who were saved, you know, I've spoken to people at my work. And if I had known that they were so close to it, I never would have left them that night. And I didn't know. I was having meetings over at the Craigs outside Collybackie. And there was a house, you could have cast a stone from the hall door into the yard of the house, and they rounded just it with invitations. We knocked this man's door and gave him an invitation, but he wasn't able to come, and I was his family. He wasn't free, he said. On the Friday night of the second week, his eldest girl was journeying from Ballymena to Belfast. And he was lying sound asleep on his bed. At 2 o'clock in the morning, the door got a knock. They meant it was the police come to tell him his daughter had a tragic accident along the way. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't go to his house that day. Or I didn't go to his house the next day. Because I couldn't get the courage to go. A week passed before I went to sympathize with that father. With that mother. He said, well, there's her photograph. Isn't she a lovely wee girl? A man, she's a lovely wee girl. She's only 21. God brought the gospel to our very doorstep. He couldn't have put the hall any nearer unless they put it in our front garden. Heaven knew there was a divine appointment made. And God brought the gospel to our very doorstep. But she might be reached before she would die. But she didn't have time. Have you time tonight? You need to be born again, and you need to be born again tonight. Because there's an appointment that must be kept. But there's more. There's an afterwards that must be faced. Listen to it. after this, the judgment. After my sinful life was all over, after the pleasures of sin all are enjoyed, after I have come to the end of the journey, whenever I go out into the great forever, there's a judgment that must be faced, and afterwards, after this, the judgment. I hope you appreciate there's a judgment to be faced, boys. I know girls and boys who attend gospel meetings. They hear these words coming from the preacher's lips, you know, and they can switch off. But whether they're switched off or switched on, the word's still the same. After this, the judgment. After you enter eternity, there's judgment. This judgment is twofold in this respect. We have a judgment in relation to the opening of the books. You see, heaven has a record of your sin. You say, well, isn't it right that whenever I die, if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, then I'll get to heaven. And when those books are open, if my bad deeds outweigh my good deeds, then I go down to hell. That's what our brother told us was all wrong. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Those books are open to prove to you your guilt. I want to tell you tonight, heaven is keeping a record of your sin. You know what our brother said earlier? We don't want to hear about sin, neither yours or anybody else's. It's not the amount of sins we want to hear about. We want to tell you that you are a sinner, and that you're going to have to face your sin, and heaven has a record of it. Now, you could refuse to think about that record, but it's still there. Heaven recorded your sin today. Heaven recorded your sin since you were born, and the record's lying open in heaven tonight, and a holy God is looking upon a record of your sin. And there's a judgment to be faced in relation to the record of your sin. You see, you will have a remembrance of your sin. Every sin that ever you committed, heaven will put them in order before your eyes. He says, I will reprove you, and I will set them in order before your eyes. But you will have a responsibility for your sin. God holds you responsible for your sin. Only your sin, nobody else's now. Heaven holds you responsible for your sin. And there's an afterwards to be faced in relation to the record and judgment of your sin. But that's not really the deep meaning of the text. After this, the judgment. Whenever a soul dies without a Savior, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 16 made it abundantly clear that a rich man lived on this earth and he fared sumptuously every day and he put God out of the equation. Man, he had a good time. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, and he died. And in hell, instantaneous arrival. I want to tell you, mother, tonight. Young woman, let me tell you tonight. Young girl, let me tell you. Young boy, let me tell you. Older friend, let me tell you. The breath stops in your body in that seat. Before we stretch your remains out on that floor, your soul will be in hell. Hell is a place of constant torment. Hell is a place of darkness, desolation. After this, the judgment. When you would have arrived in that place, and humanity would have spent another 1,000 years on earth, there's another 1,000 years yet to go on earth for humanity. If humanity would have spent another 1,000 years on this earth, at the end of that 1,000 years, you know what you could say? After this, the judgment. When 1,000,000 years have rolled their course, after this, the judgment. When 1,000,000,000 years have rolled their course, after this, the judgment. If I didn't believe it, I won't be here. Many a one we have loved and met on the journey of life. They have died without a Savior, those of our own kith and kin. And it's after this the judgment. I want to ask you a question, young boy, tonight.
Young girl, I want to ask you a wee question tonight. Is the cost not too great for you? It's the world, you see. Or it's Christ. You can't have one on either hand. If you want the Savior, you must let go of the world. You can't have your sin. When you take the Christ of God, you know, there'll be no judgment. You see what I find in this verse? So Christ was once offered. Here's an atonement that must be preached. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Before I speak of that, I want to speak to you about the third reason why you need to be saved tonight. Them that look for him, will he appear? Well, I understand the context. Them that look for him, will he appear the second time? Not to deal with the question of sin, for that's once for all settled, but for the salvation of those who are saved. You see, what sort of salvation is that? What do you mean by the salvation of the saved? You see, whenever God saved me that night as a boy of 13 and a half, in a wee cottage behind the Golden Plough filling station at 11:45 on a Tuesday night, he saved my soul from eternal fire. My sins were forgiven. For these last 36 and a half years, or 36 years, he saved me and kept me every day. Do you know what he's going to do? Man, I'll tell you what he's going to do. And take a look at me. Don't deserve a thing. He's going to lift me one day. The Lord, when the Lord comes, if I be not dead, whether I'm dead or not, there'll be no difference. He's going to lift me anyway. He's going to put my body and soul, give me a new body, fashioned like unto his glorious body. This is what I'm going to bring you into the good of salvation. I'll give you a body that will never shed a tear. I'll give you a body that will never endure a pain. I'll give you a body where the hair never will go grey. I said, I'm going to give you a body like mine, a body of glory. I said, my salvation, oh, it's not negative, just saving you from hell. I said, it's positive, because I want you with me. Imagine that. Me with Christ throughout eternal ages. Them that live for him. Man, I love to see him. I have a wife at home I love, and two girls I love with all my heart. Thank God they're in the family of God. And I love to see him. But I have an old mother now. 80 years of age. Not saved. That's why I don't want him to come tonight. And you're not saved. Why know some in your family are saved? I know one day you intend to be saved when all's over. Like that. He could come. Ask the ungodly outside, they'll tell you. Something's going to happen soon. What did they tell you? Things can't go on as they are. Men who absolutely know nothing about the gospel will tell me, Willie, something has to happen. You know what that is? Them that look for him, shall he appear the second time? And in a moment of time, you could be sitting in a meeting with your head against your mother's shoulder, and you could be left for eternal fire. You know, I would encourage everybody that's saved to keep near those who are saved. Not that you'll go when they go, but let you know they're still here. Because if he comes tonight and you've heard the gospel, you're as sure of eternal fire as if you were in it. Those are the three reasons why you must be born again, and you must be born again. You need it now! Death in your track. Judgment is coming, and the Lord's returning. I can't finish on that note. Listen to this. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now you say just many. That's many in distinction to few. Whenever Christ died on Calvary's cross, he bore the sins of many. You say, how do you know? Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You can put as many in there as you want, can't you? There's no limitation to the work of Christ. Listen, soul, tonight, we like to be saved. Would you love to know your sins forgiven? Let me do what the Lord did with Nicodemus. He'll point you to a crucified Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him. Christ once suffered. Did you hear that bit? That's fundamental. Once suffered. What does that mean? That means you never have to suffer again. It's once for all time. All that heaven requires in relation to man's sin, Christ bore it in Calvary. The substitutionary. He bare the sins of many. He was taking the penalty due to many. I can say tonight is my substitute. You know what a substitute is, don't you? You know, there's a man one time and he was conscripted. The time of Napoleon to join his army. And the dear man had a family that he cared for, and he knew that if he went to the army, the dear wife and the children would be in difficulties. But he didn't want to go. But Napoleon's army came looking for him, and he had a cousin who heard about it. And the cousin came and said, "Listen, I'm a single man and I haven't been conscripted, but I'll go in his place." So they took the word back to headquarters. "Yes, that's okay. You come in his place." 6 weeks later in the battlefield, that boy lost his life. There he was. His life was over. A month or two passed, and again this man with the family was conscripted, asked again to come along to join the army. And they came to get him. He says, "You can't take me this time." He says, "Why not?" "So the last time I was called," he says, "a cousin of mine went in my place." Always had to know that, but now it's your turn. "No, no," he says. "The fact you took him in my place, you can't take me." And I went right to Napoleon himself. Napoleon says, "The man's right." He says, he asked us to accept his cousin as his substitute. And we said we would. He says, "The law of the land would demand that they can't touch him." He says, "There's another one in this place." A substitution. At Calvary's cross, there was one who went in my place. He died for me, you see. Therefore, heaven says to me tonight, "Well, you're free to come in, because Jesus died for you." Do it ever between you and me. I believe it. I trust you will. For his name's sake, shall we pray. Father, we bow to give thee thanks at the close of this meeting, that the sinners who's in this meeting tonight who never heard the gospel could have realized that they need to be born again. And those who have realized that, Father, can be born again through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that those who are here yet in their sins will appreciate a death in their track and judgments to be faced, and the Lord is coming. Father, also there's an enemy here tonight. That is Satan himself. He's out to mar the gospel. He's out to put them past it. He's going to tell them just now, "Every word you heard was true, but don't say that tonight." Father, move for thy glory. Give your name mercies as we part in our Savior's name. Amen. Now we'll sing two verses of number 330, please. "Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. For sinner heart and not thine heart, thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight?" Verses 3 and 4, standing, please, at 380, with the chorus, and the meeting's open. "The world has nothing left for thee, and I'm not the one who's been waiting for you.
prepared.